by the One China principle.
Okay, at this present moment, the beast has slowed down and the man has stepped out of it.
That is President Trump.
President Trump in his bright red tie. And next thing that we'll be looking forward to is the handshake that he will have with President Xi Jinping of China. Let's take a look at him walking up the stairs, the two leaders ready for the meet and greet. Here we go.
So just a reminder that they met in South Korea just over 6 months ago, where they announced, if you like, a detente in their trade war. So trade and tariffs very much on the agenda as well. At least one thing has changed, you know, since that meeting in South Korea, and that, of course, is the Iran war. A big question about how that is going to complicate the summit as well. And there is a lot of talk that President Trump will be hoping that President Xi will be pressuring Iran to come to the negotiating table and find a solution to the conflict that's taking place right now. And of course, high up there as well is reopening the Strait of Hormuz.
Meet and greet happening right now, Arnold. The high-level Chinese delegation shaking hands and being introduced to President Trump. And I remember just a few moments ago seeing also the American delegation standing by. Hey, for more on the welcome ceremony and what we can expect in the coming hours, let's get to our correspondents. Tan Zihui joins us from Beijing. Nick Harper is in Washington, D.C. And I'd like to start first with Zihui, who's always standing by when the motorcade goes by. Zihui, tell us the welcome ceremony for the president taking place at the Great Hall of the People. Can you tell us the significance of this venue on the western side of Tiananmen Square? And how does this compare to the last time that President Trump was welcomed in Beijing?
Well, the Great Hall of the People, that's where Mr. Xi greets foreign dignitary, top-level officials. So that holds great political significance. Just in 2017, he had met Mr. Trump at the same place, the state visit. It was accorded the state visit level welcome. That's the highest protocol that China offers. Back in 2017, Mr. Xi had personally greeted and welcomed Mr. Trump. And that's a key symbolism of how much level of respect that Mr. Xi accords Mr. Trump. We could expect this time around to for it to happen again. Back in 2017, we also saw the typical classic script of a state-level visit. We saw military honors, national anthems, also a typically tightly choreographed reception. And so we could expect that again this year. But what could be different back in 2017 and in this time? Back then, there was almost like a state visit plus Mr. Xi and Mr. Trump having an extended visit to the Forbidden City. That is the heart of Imperial China. Back then, the entire Forbidden City was restricted. Ordinary people could not go inside. And so it really gave Mr. Trump a kind of insight, reminiscent of what was like back in Imperial China. Mr. Xi and Mr. Trump having long talks along with their spouses. Well, whether we will see this again this time around, we will watch out later, because what we do expect and hope to see is that Mr. Trump could be going to the Temple of Heaven. It was one of the iconic attractions here in Beijing. That is also of historical significance. That's where emperors used to pray for abundant harvest and also to affirm divine leadership. And so that is of great political significance, great cultural significance. Let's see later whether Mr. Xi and Mr. Trump will have that kind of interaction later.
Thank you. All right, Nick, as we look at pictures of the welcome ceremony for President Trump, and I believe shortly a guard of honor and his inspection, we know that the president has made trade a priority. He has with him top executives from key U.S. Industries, and he's told China to open up. He wants China to open up to U.S. businesses. So what can we expect when the leaders meet for talks very shortly?
Yeah, Arnold, quite a heavyweight entourage that Donald Trump has brought with him. CEOs of about 17 American companies, some of the biggest in the United States, really making it very clear how central trade is to this entire visit. Along with Donald Trump, we have the likes of Apple, Meta, Boeing, Nvidia, a whole host of different companies, many of which already do business in China. And part of this visit is really about trying to do more business. So the United States is hoping that we will see more deals with some of these companies as a result of this trip, but perhaps also looking for some reciprocation, the opportunity for the United States to do more business in China and the opportunity, therefore, to have China opened up to the United States. Donald Trump says that these CEOs, this entourage that is with him, may be to work their magic, in his words. Interesting to note as well that the US is very much pushing what it calls the five B's when it comes to trade, a whole range of things that it wants to do business with China on. Boeing, hoping to buy about 500 planes during the course of this visit. Soybeans, the hope is that China will buy about 25 million metric tons a year for the next 3 years. More US beef could be bought by China as a result of this trip. And then there is two boards being created, the Board of Investment and the Board of Trade. The idea there being that beyond this trip, there will be more opportunities for the US and China to interact, to cooperate and do more business deals beyond this visit itself.
All right, let's get back to Suhui, who's in Beijing. Boy, it looks like a fine morning over there, Suhui. And it's also been 9 years since Mr. Trump's last visit. Can you tell us how different today's China is compared to the one Mr. Trump visited in 2017?
Yes, 9 years is a long time and much has changed. China has changed, especially in how it deals with the U.S. Right now, the political climate between the U.S. and China, it has become more tense. It's more confrontational. It's more competitive now. And then the tariff war is no longer just between the U.S. and China. It's now out on the global stage. But analysts tell me that China is more prepared in terms of dealing with Mr. Trump's bargaining tactics and strategies. They know what Mr. Trump is like. They were previously probably caught off guard in terms of his personality. And so this time around, they know that they cannot be bullied. They are more confident now in terms of the leverage it has when it comes to this summit. Right now, they are more confident in terms of their financial systems. They also recently enacted new regulations to a sanctions law that counter foreign measures that target Chinese companies. They also know that when it comes to critical minerals, they can restrict rare earth exports to the U.S. So they're a lot more prepared now. Now, with that said, that doesn't mean that China does not place much importance on the U.S. They still place significant importance on this visit. As we've seen, Mr. Han Zheng, he is the vice president. He had greeted Mr. Trump. That is of a higher level compared to 2017 when a state councillor had greeted Mr. Trump. And so that really shows just how much respect that China still has for Mr. Trump and for the U.S. And China itself is also struggling in terms of its domestic economy, low domestic consumption, a struggling property sector. And so as much as the U.S. needs China, China also needs the U.S.
Nick, just want to get back to you now. This is a delayed summit, of course, delayed because of the war on Iran by President Trump. It's now taking place with the war still on. So I'm wondering, what is the U.S. leader willing to compromise if he's to ask President Xi's, for President Xi's help to end the conflict?
Well, it's a good question, Arnold. And indeed, Donald Trump was asked a version of this question just before jumping on the plane to Beijing. His response was that he didn't need China's help when it came to the war with Iran. In many ways, though, I think this is just posturing, because we do know that, of course, China has incredible influence with Iran. There are much closer relations on those two sides than there is between the US and Iran. So therefore, the hope could be that President Xi is able to exert his influence to get Iran to do a deal. But how will the United States spin this? I mean, I guess in many ways it could be that an end to the conflict is a win-win for both sides. Bear in mind that China gets about 30% of its oil from the Middle East. Much of that has been stuck because of the naval blockade by the United States on Iranian ports, but also because the Strait of Hormuz has been closed. So Donald Trump may suggest that really it's a good thing if the war ends for China. But the problem for the US president is China very much views this as Washington's war, Washington's problem. We have seen China's top diplomat, Wang Yi, saying that he wants to see the Strait of Hormuz reopened, but at the same time saying that Iran has the legitimate right to use nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. There is one bit of leverage that the US president has that he could dangle as a way for China to use its influence over Iran, and of course that's the high-powered AI chips made by the likes of NVIDIA. But that is an incredible bargaining chip for the United States, and the US president may not want to use that as a way to end the war with Iran.